viral selfies, consenting to adventures, and tons of fascists. We're talking Rick and Morty Season 4, Episode 1, Edge of Tamorty. Rick Die, Rick Pete.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit.
Shut up, Morty. Shut up, Morty. We're
crap,
going through a tunnel.
We have officially went explicit within the first 10 seconds.
No, I'm so sorry.
That is Vito Scuddy.
Hi, everyone.
At my co-host seat, I'm your host, Stephen Lemieux, talking about Rick and Morty Season 4.
Yeah, thank God.
After the long wait.
It's back. Everybody.
I originally signed up for Sliders, and they threw me on this show.
Yeah, I originally signed up for His Dark Materials, which I'm going to be on anyway, so I'm here.
I just figured we needed to have an after show to discuss this show, and what better than, like, two of the most standard Rick and Morty fans you could meet?
Yeah.
Bearded white guys.
Yeah, bearded
to
white
talk
guy
about it.
One age, and then bearded white guy the other age.
Exactly.
That's it. That's...
You know, we're trying to find two more bearded white guys to join us to really complete the... compendium of bearded white guys who watch Rick and Morty.
It would be great to get Justin Roiland and Dan Harmon on this, and then we would all just look the same. We would all just be the same person in four different
places.
We'd
be like the 2012 versus 2030 versions of each other.
Yeah, you're definitely
right. It'd be amazing. We're talking about Season 4, Episode 1 of Rick and Morty. We got people in the chat. Thank you guys for joining us. They say, I haven't been able to find this anywhere, and now I finally have. Well, this isn't the episode. This is an after show for the episode.
So. But now you're finally here for the after show.
You can find Season 4, Episode 1 on AdultSwim.com.
Yeah,
you can watch it for free.
It's got like two ads.
If
you can just watch that.
Has killed you. We're going to be breaking down kind of the new tech of the episode. We're introduced to a lot of cool little things that I'm sure we're going to see returns of throughout these next 12 seasons that they've been renewed for. I mean, 6 seasons, but the same thing.
Rick and Morty forever!
We're going to talk about Rick's journey this episode because we had a separate adventure, basically.
I'm a new Rick now.
A new Rick, hologram Rick, who has rights.
Immediate death to a Rick. Immediate, almost immediate Rick death.
Rick death happened. Thank you, Jonathan.
That's exactly.
Jonathan's having
impaled.
A lot of fun with the sound effects. and we're going to talk about, of course, Morty's adventure into Akira.
Yeah.
Basically becoming a technological
anime
biological blob of absorption just so he can
giant tree giant
blob Jessica
tree. I thought the blob tree was actually better than like what they showed in the actual Akira final scene. It was more appealing to look at, the giant black rubber tree or whatever. I
it
guess
it did look dope, but I kind of thought, like, for Rick and Morty, like, if you go back to their Avengers, they have sorry, not the Avengers, but they have the whole, like, building built of blood and guts and
oh
stuff
my
like
God.
That.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I would imagine they would have gone through. Let's go ahead and get into our overall thoughts of the episode before we go off on too many tangents, because this show really spells for tangents. Vito, overall thoughts on the episode?
I really liked it, and I also was surprised by how much I liked it. For a first episode back in a season that was, like, so just made Rick and Morty blow way back up from what it even originally was. I thought the re-entrance back into the public eye was just what they needed. I mean, it didn't feel like it was trying too hard. It didn't feel like it was loose on any ends. It felt like it was really good. How did you feel about it?
I thought it was way better than I expected, to be honestly. You know, you have a lot of stuff to deal with. Season 3, Episode 10 came out October 1st, 2017. It is now November 11th, 2019. So you have over 2 years since the last episode. You had all these contract negotiations going on between the seasons with, like, okay, so do they want another season? Do they want 5 more seasons? 6 more seasons? Oh, well, Adult Swim wants a lot of money, so, like, what do we do on that? And then they also had to figure out what do the contracts look like if we're going to do tons of these seasons. So it looks like we finally ended up completely lost it, where people
make... Yeah, it's just a deal. So we finally got a contract. We finally got something together for Justin Roiland and Dan Harmon to get a lot of money. That's mainly...
Yeah,
they're probably getting so much money from this at this point.
They need their money. They deserve their money. They don't want to get paid in pills. But it is interesting. You did see at the very end of the episode, it said Green Portal Productions, which is obviously the new production company, instead of just being under...
just Adult Swim and... what was it?
Old House, West
Foundry?
House? Foundry, something
yeah,
like that.
Foundry House or something.
We sound like idiots, but yeah, it's cool that we have a new production company. It means the show, whether or not Adult Swim is involved, is going to continue on past the seasons it's picked up for.
And I'm pretty sure that's the same production company that they are now making the new video games off of for Rick and Morty that Justin Roiland is making, which is the one that was shown in the episode, as well as other ones that he's put on Steam right now. And apparently they're all pretty good, pretty much in the same fashion of Rick and Morty.
Yeah, so we'll go ahead and get into it. Let's go ahead and talk about some of the new technology, because we got some fun deep cut inside jokes. We got some really interesting things. Obviously, the funeral selfie is fun.
The funeral, the immediate advertisement for Instagram got me interested. Like, are they actually advertising for Instagram? Did they get money for that, or did they just put that in as like a part of the universe? I don't.
Well, basically, the majority of Rick and Morty fans have been on Instagram. Mm-hmm. This whole 2 year period, they've been doing a lot of guerrilla marketing and stuff through their Instagram page.
That's true.
And if you do follow them, they are pretty great at it. They've been posting lots of clips, lots of pictures, and all sorts of things. There's been a countdown timer for the past 6 days. They did trivia, they did prizes, they did all sorts of stuff when they led up to Adult Swim Con.
So yeah, like, Adult Swim Con I saw a lot of stuff for.
Like, they've been, even though they haven't really been making the show,
I mean, though,
it's 2 years, we get five episodes.
Is it only five episodes?
It's only five episodes.
Oh, geez,
so we get five weeks
of
episodes, and then we have no promise of when the next five are coming.
I don't know. I just have a feeling that they definitely could have been working on more, and they just haven't announced it yet.
South Park has 48 hours to tape. Rick and Morty gets 2 years, and we get five episodes.
Honestly, they're probably really good five episodes, so keep in tune while we're reviewing those all.
I hope so, because this one was super solid. The next thing we get, Rick's sleep mode. I love this. It's kind of like you put your body on kind of rest mode and do whatever the hell you want in your mind.
Yeah.
And you have your Tesla. It's basically the Tesla autopilot for Rick.
Yeah, and I can't wait until Tesla comes out with the auto mind autopilot so I can just shut off and just do whatever during the day.
We have new family dynamics that we didn't have before. Obviously, the end of last season was the Rickturian candidate, so we had a lot going on. But now, Rick has to ask Morty for permission. So this is a little commentary on consent, which is really interesting.
How long do you think that's going to last? Or do you think we'll actually see that recurring throughout the season? Because I feel as though almost part of me wanted to believe that it was a one-trick pony, but like I feel as though they're probably going to play on that the rest of the season.
I'm guessing it's going to play on it a lot. I think we're going to get a lot of up-to-date kind of things, because it doesn't feel like... I mean, they've been working on this for 2 years, but maybe they do actually have a tighter production schedule and they're going to go more towards South Park's way of doing things. Because this episode was fairly topical for current events.
Yeah.
And South Park has really not been as much. It hasn't really had the commentary. Like, I love the commentary on consent for this, the commentary on, like, real versus hologram, how that's offensive, like all these different terminologies that you're not allowed to use nowadays. Like, I think it was really poignant in that.
I thought it was poignant, but I also appreciated how Justin Roiland, it didn't feel like the writers team really like took a specific side to this is wrong, this is right, whatever. Yeah, it's just like I liked how they kind of just pointed out, here's a thing that's complicated, like the line that we both kind of loved, like, when did fascism become the default? Like, there's just so much in that I thought was really funny, but also, again, as you said, really topical.
Exactly. Like, your fascism's become the default.
Yeah.
Like, you don't agree with me? Well, you're this. Or
yeah,
you're
but
that.
Also, now suddenly there's a resurgence in a lot of, like, fascist undertones to a lot of things.
That, too. You're
and
like,
it's so interesting to kind of see both of those things come up at once. I don't know. I also thought it was really interesting to see how, in that family dynamic, like, Jerry is kind of back in the seat that he used to be. Like,
somehow.
There's a lot that we didn't see in between the time of season 3 and season 4 that I'm really curious as to what did they end up doing with it? What happened in between season 3 and season 4 that Jerry's now back, they're still together, the family's kind of back in a cohesive bond-ish? I don't know.
Even Morty has his entire, like, conglomerate,
absolutely,
too. So you're
yeah.
like, okay, so that's going on. And we wrap that up a bit at the end where they're like, all right, so what are we going to do for the next 6 seasons? Well, you know, we're going to do some classic stuff. Yeah. We're going to do some adventures.
Do some new stuff. Rick and Morty forever!
Maybe some story arcs will go forward. Maybe they won't. Maybe we'll just chill and do nothing. I'm sure we're going to get another TV commercial episode. Probably another Rick memory or Morty memory.
I hope that
scramblers.
They don't really go in the direction that South Park kind of has. I don't really watch a lot of South Park, but from what I know, a lot of their... I just feel like I want a little more care in these episodes. Like, I'm not amiss at the fact that these took 2 years to come out. One, because I don't think these five are all. And two, because I think there's a lot in store that we haven't seen yet. Because think of how detailed this episode was. And I know South Park has a lot of detail put into it and a lot of care. But I'm sure there's even a lot that, unfortunately, we're going to miss in watching it twice. There are so many references that were just posted in secret places all over the episode that I only noticed the second time around.
Yeah, like, I think with this, it seems like they definitely put a lot of ideas on the table right after last season, and they were already developing, like, mm-hmm. what each episode could be, and then they've just fine-tuned it to animate it when they started animating, like, 6 months ago.
Which is very exciting to me.
Yeah, it was great. More technology we get. The bisecting but growing legs gun, which is absolutely fucking terrifying.
The look on the dude's face when he was like, wait, I'm alive. Oh, no!
His, like, head starts walking
away.
That's, like, terrifying.
Also, I just wanted to point out the little robots that repair Rick's ship right after he crashes. They were so cute. I love
cannon.
Those little robot designs. They're so good.
Rick getting impaled. God, we'll get to that.
I was so much graphic, like, gore in this, and I think the last time we saw that kind of gore was at Pickle Rick. I think that was the last time that I noticed that there was a visceral amount of gore in,
like, sharing
show.
Bart the rats, yeah, to turn them into his Pickle Rick
absolutely
costume.
Yeah, they just kind of showed all the guts of the body.
We have the Mr. Meeseeks again, but of course we have now the Kirkland brand Mr. Meeseeks, which, if anyone knows what Costco is, Costco in America is basically like a wholesale warehouse.
Yeah.
Where you get, like, gigantic boxes of things. I'm surprised they didn't play the card of, like, it being a gigantic Kirkland Meeseeks, but
I'm also kind of interested to see what happens to the Kirkland Meeseeks, if anything at all, because he made it, he gave birth to it, and then gave it nothing. So right now, as far as we know, it's still sitting in Rick's garage just smoking that cigarette.
Right? I mean, if it's anything else like anything Kirkland, it just won't work. Ooh, deep cuts.
It's okay, Kirkland. We still buy from you.
We get grenades that pull out fragments of your DNA and liquefy you.
Yeah, was that... So, when the blue eye thing came, was that him using the power of the grenades, or was that something separate?
So, the blue eye thing, which we'll get to a deep discussion on it later, is basically just an excuse to go Akira.
Yeah.
It's like the death crystals... In Akira, he gets, like, psychic powers, mm-hmm. and they slowly develop over time until he loses control over them.
Yeah.
So I think the eyes thing was just, like, Morty has now lost control of his psychic powers caused by his ability to foresee everything.
Yeah, and I knew that was, like, we discussed that it was in Akira reference. It was just so funny that it also kind of reminded me of Dr. Manhattan from the Watchmen series. I don't know why. It's just, like, the super powerful, just one being kind of in the middle of all of the military also just kind of reminded me of... Watchmen in that case, and especially now that Watchmen is out on also HBO? Is it also HBO Watchmen?
Or
is it?
Yeah. Watchmen's HBO.
Yeah, so, I'm sorry, I'm getting some things messed up. But yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed the visuals that they gave in that scene and how creative they were getting with the deaths of each particular group. Like the grenade that just threw the original bully up into the air and he was just like, oh, the air's getting pretty thin.
Yeah, like, goodbye. And then the one that just sucks them into another dimension or something.
Yeah.
The Boggler, we have no idea what the Boggler is.
Yeah,
It looked like it had a face on it or something.
I feel like that's Chekhov's Boggler. I feel like we're going to see something with that in the next five episodes. He's going to probably come out somewhere. Or maybe it was just a reference to something that Justin was just like, alright, let's make people think on this and not pay attention to other things.
I'm trying to figure it out because I feel like it would have been like a toy from the 80s that they just randomly pulled out of nowhere. Like,
it did kind of look that
right?
way.
Right? Or it's just like, God, it's like the equivalent of like, I hope you didn't take my Bop-It, and he pulls out a Bop-It. Like, that's what I feel like it actually was, but I don't get the reference.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm just not qualified to host this two white guys with beards after show here at AfterBuzz TV.
Guys, sorry. We'll get two better white guys. We'll try better
we
for next time.
We need more knowledgeable.
We need to clone ourselves, make them have all of the knowledge of Rick and Morty, and put them back in these places. Actually, I go as far to say that next show, we will not be the current Vito and Steven. We will be Steven and Vito 2. We're going to clone ourselves and put ourselves
here. We'll actually
here.
Be wasps.
Yeah, we'll be wasps this time.
White, Anglo-Saxon, Protestant.
Wow, the scariest thing ever.
Exactly.
Which, by the way, I was terrified of Wasp Rick and Morty. I know that wasps are important to the environment as much as bees are, but that was terrifying to watch.
Absolutely terrifying. Let's go ahead and get into Morty's journey because it leads us to Wasp Universe. So basically, we learn of the Death Crystals, which they're just like stupid-ass poachers who just treat the universe like it's their own bank. But we're different because we're Rick and Morty, obviously.
We're Rick and Morty.
They basically tell you how you're going to die, but it's based on that specific moment in time of the different decisions from that point on you can make to die.
This was giving me very, Black Mirror, but more so Twilight Zone kind of vibes.
Very Twilight Zone vibes.
And I kind of, in a way, hope that that's the direction that they're heading, with more, like, single episode, here was a theme, here's a weird thing to throw into these weird characters, let's see where they go with it, because that concept of, like, a Death Crystal, that felt so Twilight Zone, introduced this, like, one thing into the universe that screws everything up. I don't know. I just really enjoyed it.
I mean, it's not a far cry to jump to because we're dealing with multiple universes where everything's possible. So the Death Crystal's kind of just like, hey, look at all these different possible deaths that we could enjoy with Morty dying this season.
I feel like there's something in one of those pictures that probably is going to be a throw forward into the episode.
I think a lot of what we saw in those pictures are scenes from upcoming episodes.
Yeah.
Because, like, why would they not do that if they have the opportunity? And it didn't change throughout the episode.
Yeah.
The only time it changed was when the bully wanted to kill Morty, and then it
and
had
it
him,
was
like
15 different
15 different like bullies killing him and like a plunger down his throat.
Yeah,
like
that was the one that I kept looking at. It looked like either a plunger or like a harpoon, and his mouth was like wide open. And it was and I was like, okay.
One's just a
thank
skeleton.
Thank you, Justin.
But, like, it kept showing him next to the oil barrels. It kept showing him in the old folks' home. And it kept showing, like, three different scenes that are consistent throughout the entire episode. It'd be interesting to see if they pop up throughout the season.
By the way, shout out to the Margaritaville necklace and Dr. James Buffett. I don't know what that's going to have to do with anything, but I like it.
She had the margarita necklace from her grandmother's funeral.
Oh,
All the way until being an old woman and working in hospice care, she's still wearing the Margaritaville necklace.
She just keeps the Margaritaville necklace. Thank God. Margaritaville is going to live on forever.
So Morty was not masturbating. He actually just hit a Death Crystal, which...
Did you want me to focus on that? Did you want me to get that on top of it?
Yeah, I didn't
want
to call to it.
Yeah.
But Rick dies because Morty tries to activate it, and they basically follow the crystal. And we're introduced to Hologram Rick at this point.
One of my favorite Ricks.
Morty and Hologram Rick are kind of in the same kind of story arc this episode. So what do you think of Hologram Rick?
I thought Hologram Rick was really funny because it was obvious that Rick had in mind when he created Hologram Rick, I have to make this somebody that can be tolerated by Morty so that Morty follows whatever I tell it to do.
Basically.
Which it didn't work, which puts into mind for me, what did Rick think was going to happen in this? Or has Rick not updated this after a while? Like, I just want to know where Rick's look on Morty is at this point in the series, because obviously their character dynamics have still pretty much stayed the same, but they're very different from the first Rick and Mortys we knew, in which Morty is a lot more nihilistic and also kind of self-serving to a point, and Rick kind of isn't used to that, I still think. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're similar but different. I think based on the situations they're in, they change. Like, we saw it in this episode where Morty was, like, escaping towards the future he wants, but then at the end, after the credits, we get the scene where he's just like, what the fuck, and he's just already back on, like, all right, screw this, I'm back to nihilistic, cover me in fire and spiders, Morty.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they necessarily are growing, and I think that's what they're saying in the end of the episode, too, is that, like, you're going to see different Ricks and different Mortys, but...
It's still Rick and Morty.
It's still going to be the same dynamic. Because even with needing consent from Morty, however long that lasts, he's basically... It's a slippery slope. I'm going to have to start asking you to jump off the Empire State Building and see if you want to first.
Yeah, and I am also curious as to like how we're going to see Morty react in different ways to different scenarios that are put up. Obviously, that's most of the show, but in particular, I was so interested to see him go from this, I need to know how I die, to back to, I don't care how do I die. And it seems like Morty has gone through this Rick has gone through this thousands and thousands of times to the point where he's like, okay, just clone me. I don't care. I'll die, and then I'll get cloned and then I'll exist forever. But Morty's still kind of hanging on that idea of I don't want to die. So it feels like one of the biggest differences between the two characters is the value of death at this point. And I wonder if we're going to see any major changes on that when it comes to Morty.
I don't know. I mean, I hope we get an episode that discusses the Star Trek conundrum. Have you heard of the Star Trek conundrum?
No, I haven't.
So the Star Trek conundrum is basically how teleporters work, is that they it's easier to like use quantum mechanics to
rip apart somebody like matter by matter and then put them back together.
Yeah, so it technically it's not necessarily teleportation, it's cloning.
Yeah.
So like the whole theory is that in Star Trek they're never actually teleporting Kirk A to place B and have it be Kirk A there. It's they're vaporizing Kirk A and they create a clone named Kirk B. And the real question behind it is whether or not it's the same person. If I take an exact copy of Vito right now and kill one of you, is that still the same you, or have I actually killed you? And that's the question it raises, and this is what Rick just completely ignores.
Yeah, because Rick is just Rick. His existence for him is just like any version of me is me.
Whether he's a wasp or whether he's anything else. So now, like, Morty's never faced that conundrum, and I'd be really interested to see.
Hasn't he, though? Didn't in past seasons... Isn't this not the original Morty? Wasn't that a big thing in season 3 that the original Morty was killed off and there was a bunch of other Mortys?
No, there's been tons of Mortys killed off, yes. But the one that we've gotten from this series has been the same one throughout this series.
Gotcha.
But when they went Cronenberg on that planet, they went into another universe and killed themselves in that universe to replace them.
That's
buried
right.
them in the backyard.
That's right.
And that's how we got the Cronenberg
planet.
Oh,
I remember that episode.
Yeah,
that was
so good. It's still the exact same Rick and Morty, and this is the Rick that is the Rickest Rick.
The Rickest Rick.
Yeah. So Morty basically is following this whole pathway to die with Jessica by his side, seeing this vision of just, I love you, Morty.
I love you, Morty.
I love you, Morty. And we get, obviously, Hologram Rick has his deal with, basically, you can't use verbs or words that trigger him because you can't use the word real.
Yeah. I just found it was funny the way that he reacted to it, because they didn't make it too cartoonish in the fact that he was like, hey, you can't use that. He was more just like kind of trying to be empathetic and being like, hey, what? Like you're being dumb by using this. And I found that really funny. I also just him creating a mob of himself to chide on Morty while they were walking down the hall. That got me.
What was the name of the hippie one?
Oh, my God. Bentley, I think it was. It was something along the lines.
Something ridiculous. You're just like, why even that name? But it's like, now you sound like they're real, Rick. You're better than that language, Morty. Like, great, great one-liners. The show has not let us down with the one-liners this episode.
No, there were so many. Most of my notes were actually the one-liners that they gave.
Yeah, you're not.
That was the easiest way to remember what was happening.
And when you die, you're not going to just be strutting into the death. Well, unless you're going to believe that Coco is a real thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, okay, great.
Which I choose not to.
Got yourself in a lick of trouble. Why are you pretending to eat chicken? Oh, no holographic foods? Why don't we try respecting each other? Tons of great ones.
There were. One of my favorites was when Rick first got cloned into the fascist universe, and the other Rick from that universe was, you sound like you're being a liberal with a capital Y. I was just like, what does that even mean in this context? I don't know.
That's the way the news goes.
That is the way the news goes. So many Nazis in this one. So many dead Nazis now.
Continuing on with Morty. Morty gets arrested because he allows himself to be arrested because the crystal obeys. And we get the judge.
What a ridiculous premise. What a ridiculous premise that she would just get that one sentence and then just move forward with it. I mean, to be fair, I guess that's like how psychology would work for the humans in Justin Roiland's mind.
I will always remember our time in Peru. He loves you, little sparrow.
He loves you, little sparrow.
I'm coming for you, Condor. And then we find out later in the news ticker that she committed suicide.
Yeah.
And also, any way you pronounce LaCroix, you sound like a douche.
We were trying to find this earlier, if Condor was a reference to anybody that we've already seen in Rick and Morty. I don't think it is, from what I researched. I think it was just like a throwaway line kind of thing.
Yeah, throwaway name.
But part of me, as always with this series, hopes that it's not, and we will get to see some reference to it. I don't know. Maybe they'll visit the afterlife or something. Maybe we'll have to deal with that at some point.
Well, the real question I want to ask is, was Rick actively did the Death Crystal give Rick or give Morty the powers to communicate with the dead, or was Morty just making out syllables that led him to say that sentence, and that's the only sentence that could have gotten him out of that situation?
I think that is exactly it. I think he was just trying to look for the syllables that that led him to the scenario that he ultimately wanted, which, fantastic job with that to the writing team. I just, the fact of him trying to go syllable for syllable to try and get there, that killed me.
And the weird, like,
and it took like 5 seconds for him to get to every part.
It's ridiculous. Let's go ahead and wrap it up with Morty. Morty goes Akira. He just turns into a gigantic blob thing.
Yeah.
And he's saved by Wasp Rick, regular Rick,
yeah,
and Hologram Rick, who then becomes the Blob. But let's go ahead and jump into Rick, because this was great.
Rick's journey was, I'd like to believe that both storylines were pretty much equally fascinating to me in this one, because it also kind of jumps back onto the train of what does cloning mean to Rick? What, because he unplugged his cloning stuff back in second season, I think, where he was like, all right, I'm not going to do this anymore. So it just, but it defaulted back to the next universe over. Does that mean that Rick can't die at this point?
I'm pretty sure that's what this means.
Which is wild, until he gets every Rick to shut down every single cloning facility. Rick is now immortal whether he likes it or not.
But, like, he can't, like, it's just he is immortal because basically there's an infinite number of universes, which we've decided. So, yeah, like, he's completely never gonna die.
Which is,
so he just doesn't care anymore. Or he does, and he just chooses not to think about it.
Yeah, maybe he just doesn't think about it and drinks. And I mean, that's the Rick that we all know and love.
So we have Operation Phoenix, is what it's called within the pod. Throwback made me think of Bird Person.
Yeah.
But
R.I.P.
He wakes up in this fascist utopia,
dystopia, not utopia.
What do you think of fascist dystopian futures? Thank you for purifying China.
Oh my God, that picture. Just
the wrenches.
And the amount of times that he just woke up. Like, I'm sure there are like 50,000 other realities that he could have gone to, and they probably all would have had that in there.
Yeah, it's just kind of like, what did he say? It's like, quick, Morty, this Rick's a communist. He's trying to give away all of his martinis to orphan children.
And but it goes back to the fascist Morty still wanting to just do what a Morty normally does, which
I found. Just wants to go on classic adventures.
You will do what I tell you!
You will go where I want you to go!
I really enjoyed seeing those different realities, because we're also seeing that, like, I don't know, maybe this is just eventually what happens to each of the realities, but it does bring in question, like, is this just coincidental that he ends up in that, or are we going to see this topic brushed upon throughout the rest of the series?
I mean, the real question that I had is, why the hell was Revolio Clockberg Jr. in the ship with them? Like, that was just completely random.
Maybe he just wanted Revolio Clockwork Jr. to be in the ship with him for those classic Rick and Morty adventures.
Just ridiculous.
With the Meeseeks, he pops out the room.
So kill this fascist. And then they all end up dying, and as story
I was surprised. When I first watched the episode, I was surprised at how often Rick died in it. I didn't think that they were just going to play off his death just like, bam, 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 here you go. But I don't know. Maybe it's getting us used to something.
I mean, I expected an entirely different episode based on it being Edge of Tomorty, Rick Die, Rick Pete. But then once he died the first time, I kind of knew it was kind of going on.
Yeah, Rick dies and
Rick
repeats. Yeah.
It was done way more cleverly than I expected it to be. The next one we get is Shrimp Rick
with Morty that climbs just up the wall. That also got me.
They all remind me of the Jerry Worm.
Oh yeah, I almost forgot about the Jerry Worm. They are that like pink, gross, fleshy kind of texture.
And unfortunately, this is also a fascist utopia.
With, like, the little shrimp symbol. Like, it wasn't even clever at that point. It was just like, all right, just take a Nazi flag, throw a shrimp on it.
And they had the Joseph Goebbels shrimp beat them to death at the end. Like, like, the mustache and the glasses and everything are goddamn it. They go to the next one. It's bear fascist, bistu fascist.
And then just slams his face himself back into the vat.
And finally, we get the most warped reality
Wasp.
Ever. I mean, we've gone through commercials where people are pizzas, and then they order, or the pizzas are
the pizzas
beings
are the people,
who order people,
and they eat the
and
people.
And then the couches are the people who order pizza. Yeah, it's all over the place. So, Wasp Risk And the first thing he says is, "Hail Wasp Hitler."
And he's just like, I'm just thinking with my ape brain, I'm going to say anything that gets me home. It was kind of touching to see that the most violent-looking creature ended up being the most empathetic towards Rick.
And the most violent, too, though.
Yeah.
I mean, wasps are dicks. He says something like, "We eat prey alive, lay eggs in the eyeballs, and the eggs hatch and eat the brains. When you're born that big of an asshole, the least you can do is have some empathy."
Yeah. And then he invites him to eat the teacher.
Yeah, Mr. Goldenfold Grub.
Just disgusting. Run, hearing his screams the whole time.
Run my babies! Just,
bonus! And he just eats all of them up. And then the acid as a... And I also found it kind of funny that this was the family that was together the most that we saw. We didn't see any of the other families, but this was the one that happened to work the best.
We had the nice, like, calming music. Like, it was like... I think mentioned earlier, what is this, Full House? And then that's basically the Full House family is like the damn wasp Ricks.
Yeah, which is interesting. Also, the hexagons that were everywhere, the actual hives nests that were everywhere. Oh, that got me. Ooh, give me shivers. I hate that.
Another great line when he was Shrimp Rick is like, "Oh, man, what does your garage look like? Is it this?" Like,
is it a tree?
No, it just kind of looks exactly like
actually,
this.
Actually, it's exactly this.
It's kind of a mind fuck.
I like the belief in the shrimps that like things that come from apes, they'll all live in trees. Oh. Like, humans are nothing.
I mean, I don't know why we don't live in trees. We should. We should. I mean, you know those things called tree houses?
Yeah.
Way better than
they're just
houses.
Normal houses. Yeah. We should just make them normal.
It's just, you don't need foundation.
They can fall, though.
No, they can't.
Yeah, you're right.
No, they're trees.
You shouldn't worry about that.
Oh, that was, I was like, did my phone just go off? Yeah. Jonathan with the sound effects making me go crazy. So we get another hologram Rick is being accused of forming sentience from Rick. And great line. What is this AI accusatory Isaac Asimov bullshit right there?
Isaac Asimov. I don't actually get that reference. What is it?
So Isaac Asimov wrote The Rules of Robotics and The Rules of Artificial Intelligence. So,
okay.
Basically, it's like, what is it? The Isaac Asimov rule of...
It's like you can't...
No, you can't harm humans and those kind of things like that.
Yeah, yeah. I know the rules. I just didn't know them
they
by
were
name.
Invented, I believe, before 2001's A Space Odyssey came out. And that's why 2001's A Space Odyssey received heavily influence of what HAL did. Of, like, not being able to harm humans, but then does, and breaking the rules.
Hmm. Well, it was wonderful to
rules
see...
Rules of robotics.
Yeah, I mean, Asimov died in the 80s, so I'm sure that he had to do a lot with... he's listed with iRobot, Bicentennial Man, Nightfall,
yeah, so
the
here's
end of
the three laws of robotics, guys. Yeah. One, a robot must not injure a human being or through inaction allow a human being to come to harm. Two, a robot must obey the orders given to it by human beings except where such orders would conflict with the first law. And three, a robot must protect its own existence as long as such protection does not conflict with the first or second laws. So these are the things that he's says that if we ever create an AI, it needs to have these be programmed into it. Otherwise, we could all die.
Kind of funny to see one of Rick's creations get too smart for him. I mean, ultimately he didn't, and ultimately he ended up dying by the hands of one of the Ricks, at least. But we saw that kind of a creation of his got out of control a little bit.
Well, let's talk about it. They take Akira Morty out, and then the ferrofluid surrounds the hologram rip, makes him corporeal, and he goes insane. And this is probably one of my favorite lines of the episode, is when it's like, "I thought you were proud to be a hologram." Yeah, because I fucking had to be one.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, that's really interesting commentary, but I don't really want to dive deep into that because I don't. It could have been a throwaway line as much as it could have been Justin Roiland just putting his dick out on the table.
It's also just not something that you or I are.
Yeah, I don't think I have the jurisdiction to talk about. Regardless, I thought it was a really interesting concept that this thing that was Morty's for a second could touch inorganic matter and influence it in that way.
I mean, not to bring up Star Wars again, but or not Star Wars, Star Trek, but I put on Next Generation last night and I watched two of my favorite episodes. One is the one where they meet the Borg for the first time, and the other one is the Sherlock Holmes episode, where in just like the hologram in this Rick and Morty episode, the hologram of Moriarty forms sentience because it's fighting Data.
Wow.
And the whole concept is that the sentient hologram wants to become corporeal, and when they tell him he can't be, he gives the ship back to them and is like, "Look, do whatever you can. I have grown past becoming this programmed villain. I am a living thing that wants to exist."
Interesting. And I did not watch that episode.
It was so, it's so good. It's
I like, wonder if that's where they got this exact kind of storyline.
It honestly might be, because it's like the thing versus like, what are you programmed to be, and then what are your choices once you gain sentience and are that? So he goes Akira. Obviously, the Star Trek episode ends very differently. Wasps do not sting him in the face.
Unfortunately. Would have been a better episode if that were the case.
So they sting his eyeball,
and then
grubs shoot
just,
out of his nose into his mouth, and then they eat his brain and explode his
and
head.
And the face just explodes from the amount of eggs that were in there. Again with the gore.
So much gore.
Like, I mean, the first time they got away with showing Rick impaled by that stone with the just lab coat kind of covering everything, but they didn't hide anything in this one. The shot of just Rick laying there with his face wide open and full of just gore, and then the three of them standing behind, I don't know if that was a specific reference to any other shot, but it really, like, not to get really anime nerdy here, but it kind of reminded me of, like, Evangelion and stuff like that, where it was just this, like, monstrous being just laying there dead on the road with the three characters looking at it. I don't know.
I mean, it reminded me of that, but it also reminded me of Midsommar.
I've not watched it.
In Midsommar, there's, like, an old dude whose face gets bashed in
Ooh.
Front of everyone, and it has, like, the main characters in the background, like, looking at it, and you see, like, his cracked-up skull and everything. It was a pretty scene-for-scene... Not scene-for-scene, but, like, the scene was very, like...
Shot
yeah, that way.
Very
animated that way, yeah. So, yeah, that's our adventure for the day.
Yeah, that's the coverage.
Wasp Rick to the rescue.
I'm so excited to see where this season goes.
So what is the lesson? You see, there's a lesson here, but we're not the ones to figure it out. Well, luckily we have Morty, who says that, I think the lesson is to not look forward to your death and to live in the moment. Well, unfortunately that's not the lesson, because Rick lived in the moment, got killed by Hitler several times. So maybe you have to live in the moment and look into the future. What do you think the lesson from this episode is, Vito?
I think it was pretty blatant that they were trying to show that as the lesson. It was, you can't live in the future, you can't live in the moment, you gotta keep both in mind, and nothing will work out the way you want it to anyway, so you just gotta go with the punches.
There you go. And also, no more anime stuff.
Yeah, no more anime. Don't do that Akira stuff.
You can't turn Morty into Akira.
I don't want to see any more anime in my house.
So, now we learned what season 4 will be. They have their... end of season, was it last season where they did the...
That was the...
No, that was season two. That was season two. Szechuan
sauce. Yeah, I guess
sauce.
It was. Yeah,
like,
right.
That's my 8-season arc, Morty. That's my 8-season arc. I'm going to fucking kill you, Morty.
But then they kind of did it at the end of the last season as well, but it was less like that. It was just like saying, like, Rick and Morty, 1,000 more years. Yeah, Rick
and
Morty.
1,000 more years, Morty. Yeah. Rick and Morty.
This was kind of both Rick and Morty in the last one, so
yeah.
They're just playing on that.
Morty wasn't drugged this time, but we do get a nice break in the fourth wall with Summer.
Yeah.
Summer talking in the background, and I was like trying. I'm an idiot, because when I watched this, I rewound it like 5 times to try to hear, to try to fucking hear what she said. Like, and I couldn't pick it out. And then I'm like, all right, fine, I'm just going to give up. And then it continues on, and Rick's like, you know, I record everything and play. I'm like,
thank God, Justin Roiland.
Wasted 5 minutes of my life.
Yeah, which is fine, but they presented it. And I kind of hope that Summer is in future, like, episodes as more of an advanced character. Because I thought last season really thrived because she was a part of it as well. Just gave another dynamic.
All the characters have been used really well.
Oh,
Get married and suck each other off, because that's what Rick and Morty's all about.
That's the lesson. That's the lesson that we have here, folks. That's the lesson of this episode.
I feel like a lot of our comments are going to be just that on the YouTube video. The after credit scene for this episode made it for me.
I liked the episode regardless. I think it was you actually hyped it up a little for me.
Really?
And so when I saw it, I was like, that's pretty funny. But it wasn't like, I mean, I almost would have been left wondering, like, what would have happened at the end of this. But the fact that he just kind of went back to nihilist Morty, like, do whatever, throw spiders on me, throw gasoline on me, let's just go.
Well, that's not what I find funny.
You found specifically the ending with her funny? With her.
I think it's just specifically funny that they're talking about career day, and she's like, my dream career...
The only thing I want to do...
Is to literally go to hospice care and just stare at the people dying and say, I love you, name on the name tag.
Over and over.
The fact that this entire episode was Morty trying to achieve the death of her saying I love you, but it was just her fucking reading his name off a name tag.
Yeah, in the loneliest possible way. Yeah.
I thought that was a brilliant swing. I dug it. It was pretty dope.
I did dig it. And yeah, it was a very good ending, and I'm glad that it kind of brought back the Morty that we all know and love, that we can continue adventures with, and he's not going to be stuck on that for the rest of the season.
So, 1 out of 10, what do you give this episode?
God, I give it an 8, at least. I'm not going to give it a 10, because there's no room to grow with a 10. But yeah. I think there's, of course there's room to grow. Of course I expect more out of Rick and Morty all the time. And I hope that it continues to grow, and I get a 10 out of this season.
I think I'm going to stick with you, too. I think 8 out of 10. This is a really, really solid episode.
It could have gone a lot worse.
I had my expectations pretty low, because you never know with shows like this. They can get stupid, and they can just try to rehash old jokes.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have rehashed old jokes in previous episodes. At least they call themselves out for rehashing the old jokes.
Yeah, and they still work.
Yeah, like Morty's Mind Bogglers is just a rehashing of the TV commercials, but different. We do have a special segment that Vito would love to introduce and get to.
Yeah, so I'm going to take you guys real quick. We're going to talk about our Rick or Morty, Pick or Morty of the Week and Morty.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, jeez, Rick. So I just want to talk about what was your favorite Rick or Morty of this episode?
I'm going to be... Oh, it's such...
B?
It's...
Were you going to make a pun there? B?
Yeah. It's such a toss-up between the bees, the shrimp, and the hologram. But I have to go with the hologram because it, like, with like the Prince holograms and like the Michael Jackson holograms that we have in our life now, like, would they have a personality like that if they had an AI in them? Would they be like, I'm a freaking hologram, like, this is what I eat? But at the same time, we're dealing with weird stuff. Like, did you see that they're going to who's the actor, James Dean?
Oh, yeah.
They're going to create an entire movie starring James Dean, but not real James Dean.
Yeah, they're recreating him in CGI.
Deepfake James Dean. Yeah. Grand Moff Tarkin James Dean is going to star in a movie. And that's weird.
Yeah,
and, like,
I feel
hologram
ways
Rick.
About that. Yeah.
But, like, what if James Dean, hologram James Dean, had AI?
I guess we'll have to see when they do eventually develop AI for holographic James Dean, because then they're not going to hire any actors anymore. They're just going to take all the faces that they like, put them on holograms, and that's just going to be it, guys.
Well,
no more acting.
Why would they hire actors?
No more acting. AI.
Pay for rights to a face.
Yeah. Which, how much do you think a face costs? Your face, specifically.
Oh, people wouldn't pay a lot for my face. I'm a bearded white guy.
Hey, they could. by the way, I would say my favorite Rick, probably. I'm going to have to go with a Rick because there were a few Mortys that were introduced, but I preferred the Ricks that were introduced in this episode. Probably Wasp Rick.
Wasp Rick.
I just thought it presented such like a different Rick than we've seen before, and I really enjoyed seeing this character that was so empathetic, a version of Rick that was so just like... While he had his brutal side, it felt like the brutal animalistic or insectistic side of him outweighed the normal Rick. So he was able to give more empathy while also devouring grubs that had human faces on them.
Oh my God, that was just, that scene's great.
The scream underneath it made it. I just am so, I can't imagine what it was like to be in that voice actor's room having everybody, I wonder if they filled.
Oh, it's all separate,
Yeah, yeah, I guess it has to be, but it would have been funny if it was.
Oh, it would have been great, but yeah, they just roll the track of him screaming underneath everything. You're like, God. And then the music's just like nice, like,
yeah,
Cosby Show music, where you're like, well, I can't say that anymore because that's a terrifying show now.
Anyway.
Anyway. Yeah, so what? So that was yours? Yours,
yeah,
is
that
Wasp
Rick? Was mine. Wasp Rick was my favorite.
Then I'm going to go with Hologram Rick.
Hologram and Wasp Rick.
I think the conversation on identity is really important in today's day and age.
I think you're right. And if you have any opinions about your favorite Rick and or Morty that was in this episode or in future episodes, please leave a comment below. We would love to hear from you. We'd love to discuss all of our favorite Rick and Mortys. And if you use the Rick and Morty mobile app or whatever, that game that was released by Justin Roiland a while ago where you can catch different Ricks, different Mortys, I'm sure they're going to release more out into that. You can talk to us about that there. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Vito. And also, you are holophobic because you chose the Wasp Rick. So,
you're damn right.
Deal with it. I'm going to go ahead and get into news and gossip really quick because we got about 2 minutes left.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Decider.com has a great comment, great article about 5 things that you might have missed in this episode of Rick and Morty. The first one, obviously, people were wondering who Mike Mendel was, as the episode was in loving memory of Mike Mendel. He was a producer and animator for The Simpsons, as well as worked with Justin Roiland and and all them on this show. Napoleon Dynamite, Drawn Together, The Oblongs, The Tracy Ullman Show. He was very, very well known in the industry.
He also got a few Emmys, including one for the Pickle Rick episode.
Yeah, so definitely a sad thing, but nice tribute to him.
Absolutely.
All those Akira references have a surprising 2019 connection. Check it out, guys. The animation is fairly similar. And oh, look, an ad for Justin Roiland's video game in the New York, what is it called? The Times Square kind of recreation that they had when they show Morty on the news. Moving on, we have the judge was voiced by Sherry Shepherd. Mm-hmm. And this is just a throwback saying that she killed herself. If you didn't read reading the news tickers, but if you didn't, you'll see the LaCroix thing, and you'll also see the LaCroix thing, and you'll also see that the judge killed herself to try to find Condor. Mm-hmm. And then number five, I didn't notice, is that Squanchers is apparently a sports team on Earth, because in the bar you can see the bartender with jerseys and stuff, and then in the background there is a flag flying, like one of those sports flags, that has a picture of Squanch and that says Squanchers.
Time to get squanched.
Time to get squanched. And that is all the time to get squanched we have today. Yeah. Vito, where can we find you on social media?
If you want to find me anywhere and throw Rick and Morty references in my face, you can find me anywhere on Instagram, on Twitter, at VScutty. That's at VScutti.
And if you want to follow me, you can follow me at Rick.
Rick and Morty.
You can follow me at Stephen Lemieux Photo on Instagram and on Stephen Lemieux on Twitter. And we will see you next time.
Stephen Rick and Morty After Show.
Oh, Rick and Morty After Show forever.
Sliders. This show is forever. Sliders.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.